All right, and welcome again to another teaching of the washing word. If you're asking what the washing word is, I'll tell you, it's a hand car washing business. It's owned and operated by me and my wife, Victoria. Hello, my name is Matthew, and we do these verse-by-verse Bible teachings on the radio. We do them because we believe that verse-by-verse Bible teaching is the most effective way to equip the church for what this world is offering today and what it's going to be like tomorrow. You can hear these messages at 8:30 Monday through Friday on this radio station. That's 1260 WMCH Churchill AM radio. You can hear them on FM radio if you come into the parking lot by tuning to 107.1 FM. There we play all the messages that were broadcast this week. We play them on an FM transmitter that broadcasts just about in the parking lot area, and they play on a loop all day long during open business hours, so feel free to drive by and listen there, or you can tune to 107.1 FM while you're waiting to get your car washed. The car wash was opened as a way for God to pour into our lives and income to support this ministry and to support our family, and we never ask for anything other than you change and grow through the verse-by-verse teaching of the washing word. And if you do want to support us, come by and let us work to earn our living by cleaning out your car. All right, that being said, let us get back into the book of John. We are in chapter 7, and Jesus, in verses 1 through 5, was confronted by his brothers and the disciples saying, "Hey, Jesus, let's get you back into the limelight. It's been 6 months since he did all those miracles and said all those things that caused such an uproar in Capernaum and in Judea. And so now he's been kind of hiding in the shadows because in God's divine timeline, he was staying away from those fires that he set because it wasn't time for him to go to the cross yet." But disciples didn't know this. And in a move that they thought was a good one, that they thought they were helping God out, they said, "Jesus, let's get you back into the city. Let's get you back into the limelight so they can see all these amazing things that you do." And we talked about in our last message that good intentions do not equal God intentions. And while their intentions may have been good, it wasn't God's intention that Jesus was to go back into those areas of town. And so Jesus explains what's going on here, and he does so in verse 6 and following. John chapter 7, verse 6. "Therefore, Jesus told them, 'The right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right.'" I love how he separates that there. Verse 7, "The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that what it does is evil." The world doesn't want to hear that. Verse 8, "You go to the feast. I am not yet going up to this feast because for me the right time has not yet come." Having said this, he stayed in Galilee. All right, so Jesus just flat out tells him, "Look, go to the feast. I understand where your heart is, but you're wrong. It's not time for me to go with you. It's not time for me to go back into the public spotlight. Jesus will go to the feast, just not yet." And we have to remember to line up our plans with God's plan in that order, or they won't be blessed. We have to line up our plan with God's plan in that order, or they won't be, or rather in order that they be blessed. You see, God will not bless the plans of man unless they line up with his will. That's why it's so important to discover his will and then line our lives up with that will. Listen to these scriptures in Proverbs 16:9. "In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his step." Proverbs 21:2. "All of a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart." And in Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. And so we have plans, we have desires, and we have a will, but they have to line up with God's will. And so many times they don't. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, having a plan or having a vision or having goals, that's a noble thing. In fact, it's imperative. The Bible says that without vision, people perish. But we must be willing to alter them. Too many times we put this plan in place and we are so steadfast that we don't have the gumption to alter it. And, you know, think about a running back in football. You know, he gets the ball handed to him at the line of scrimmage, and maybe the play was to call for a straight up, right up the middle run, or maybe it was called to bounce out. But whatever the play call was, if he sees that the hole has closed and he doesn't know where to run, he might run into the would-be tackler or run into his own man. And what does he do? He'll spin off, and then he'll come towards another tackler, and he'll jump over that tackler and bounce off another one and spin. And, you know, he's doing whatever it takes to get to the lane where he can gain the most yards. And we have to be willing in the same way to bounce around a little bit if God wants to change the way we are heading in our direction. And so Jesus is saying, you know, go to the feast. I'm not ready to go yet. You know, good intentions outside of God's will are not always punishable necessarily. They're just subject to correction and to rebuke and to maybe a gentle chastising if need be. So remember that. You know, if your intentions are good, but you're out of God's will, God will respect that. God will honor that. And he will gently chastise you if need be. That's why it's so important that our minds and our heart and our motive line up with God's will. That's the difference between punishment and you know, stark rebuke as opposed to gentle chastising and correction. All right, picking it up at verse 10. However, after this, his brothers had left for the feast, he went also. So we see Jesus went, but listen, it says not publicly, but he went in secret. Now, at the feast, the Jews were watching for him and asking, "Where is that man?" Among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, "He is a good man." Others replied, "No, he deceives the people." But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the Jews. All right, at this point in time, stopping there, we see that based on what we read in chapter 6, Jesus' ministry was well on its way. And like the talked about or popular TV show or celebrity or maybe a new diet craze, controversy tends to draw crowds. It's a good thing for a marketing standpoint. But Jesus did not go down with the rest of them because, as we looked at, they kind of had a heart issue. And they had a little bit of a brain issue in regards to not understanding Jesus' mission. But he did go down there. And halfway through, he did speak. And at the conclusion of his speaking, as we'll see, people did get saved. We see in verse 14, it says, "Not until halfway through the feast did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach." So, if Jesus doesn't join us, whether it be by choice, you know, his choice or ours, or if we leave him out, there's a good chance that we could miss out on being a part of the Lord's glory. You know, Jesus had every intention of going to the feast and glorifying God, and nothing, not even a wicked or a misled human heart, was going to stop that. And the disciples could have had a part in the inevitable salvation that was to take place there. Instead of Jesus going to the temple alone to preach, he could have had them by his side. They could have been there to pray with new believers and to minister to them or answer questions about the new way. You know, God's will was still done. Jesus still went to the feast. He still went to the synagogues and the temple. He still preached his message. People were still saved, and Jesus still glorified his followers. Glorified his Father, but his followers were not a part of that because of their misled hearts and minds by coming to Jesus prior and saying, "Hey, go down into the spotlight. Let's get you back into the public's eye." So Jesus kind of had to separate himself. And whenever we separate ourselves from Jesus, whether it's because we do it deliberately or because of our bad attitude, Jesus has to kind of separate himself away from us until we get right. Whenever that happens, we miss out on an opportunity to be a part of God's glorification. And like we saw here, Jesus went on to preach. He went on to see salvation. He went on to do the will of the Father. But they were not a part of this particular instance because of their, okay, we'll call it hard hearts about their plans to get Jesus out into the open. So it is infinitely better to be a player in God's will than merely a spectator. Amen. Listen, God will not bless the plans of man unless they line up with his will. You want your plans to line up with God's will? Well, then look for God's will being done and then join him. That is the best way for your plans to line up with God's will. Simply see what God is doing and where he is moving, where he is alive. And go and join him there. Get on board. When you see someone get saved, you know, it brings a smile to your face and you rejoice. But how much more so if that person was someone that you had been maybe discipling or talking to? Let's continue on in our scripture, verse 14. We'll read 14 again. It says, "Not until halfway through the feast did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews were amazed and asked, 'How did this man get such learning without having studied?'" Stop right there for just a moment. This was his first large public speaking. They were amazed at his knowledge. Remember, he's at the feast now, and this is when all the Jews gathered together, and they were amazed at how much he knew. You know, and the reality is many of us do very little for Jesus, and I don't mean that as a criticism, but the devil has us believing so many times that, you know, unless we know all of God's word, or we are, you know, biblical scholars, or unless we, you know, have all this knowledge or whatever it is, or we've been to 8 years of seminary, or unless we live holy lives, you know, unless we get rid of all of our sin, that we can be of little use to God. But the truth is, God is looking for the weak people. The Bible says that God uses the weak to confound the strong and the fool to confound the wise. And we miss out on so many opportunities to share in God's glory because we think we're not good enough to be a part of Jesus's plan and God's will. John 14:26 says that the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. Listen, the only thing you need to serve God, to glorify God, to be a part of the glory of God is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you everything you need, will give you the words to speak, will bring you to the places you need to be. The Holy Spirit is your authority. That is your training. You have all of the knowledge of God that you will ever need to fulfill the will of God through the Holy Spirit. And John knew this. He wrote elsewhere in 1 John 2:20, "But you have the anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know truth." Most of us struggle with reading comprehension. I think that was one of the biggest things we struggle with in school. You remember you read a story and then you would close the book and you had to write things about what you read. Did you comprehend what you were reading, basically? That happens when we walk out of the church. We forget what we just heard. But listen, the Holy Spirit brings everything to you. And I've used this before and it's so important. I'm going to use it again. Man cannot teach that which God can give in spirit. Man cannot teach that which God can give in spirit. So go forward today, believer. Go forward in strength, for you are knitted in God's perfection. You have received everything you need in the Holy Spirit. So stop thinking you're not good enough and go forward. Tap into the Spirit's power and let him lead you to where God is moving, so that you can be a part of the glory of God. As always, I pray this message blesses you, and that you have a great week in the Lord, and be a warrior for Christ. In Jesus' name, have a great day.